From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Yesterday's protest of a Sacramento pastor and his comments about the Orlando shooting brought a loud crowd, and you can find coverage at capradio.org of people speaking out on both sides of this issue, many sides, in fact. On the presidential campaign trail, meanwhile, there was reaction to that shooting and issues surrounding it from Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. The polls are shifting. Donald Trump has parted ways today with his campaign manager. Let's get right to my weekly conversation with Ken Rudin, the political junkie. He's joining me from Washington, D.C. Hello, Ken.
Hello. Good morning, Beth.
Happy Father's Day to you over
Thank
the weekend
you so much.
As well.
It Thank
was
you so
a
much.
Busy weekend. Hillary Clinton and her husband became grandparents, so they were a little under the radar as Chelsea and her husband added a baby boy.
By the way, the baby boy is Aiden Clinton Mezvinsky, and just for the record, he will be eligible to run for president in 2052. That year there will be a presidential election that year, so the timing is perfect.
Ah, that's an important fact to point out. Usually you're looking back in history. Today we get you looking forward.
No, because I think Trump in 2048 will give up the presidency. He'll say, okay, it's time for me to step down after 35 terms, and then it'll allow others like Aiden Clinton Mezvinsky to run. So a lot of exciting things in the future, and I'll be with you on Capital Public Radio to bring that to you.
It'll be like weekend with Bernie, Ken. We'll both be there on the couch together.
Wait, which Bernie are you talking about? You don't want to confuse
right,
the Bernie.
Right, not that Bernie. Oh, please, no. We did not want to start anything there.
Be careful.
Big headlines this morning with Trump and his campaign manager parting ways. There are a lot of other things we want to get to, but let's start with that.
Well, it's big news in the sense that, I mean, this guy is a friend of Donald Trump. He's kind of a loose cannon. He's not a political guy. He's almost seen as an enforcer. There was a famous case where he basically was accused of manhandling a female reporter who was trying to get close to Trump, and he was charged with battery, although those charges were dropped. But he also has a history of saying incendiary things, comments about women. I never thought that he would help Donald Trump, but Donald Trump is very loyal to the people who are loyal to him. And I guess either he was forced out because other Republicans are saying, Hillary Clinton is outraising you, out-organizing you in all these key states around the country, the battleground states. Your campaign is not catching up. I don't know what it's doing. So maybe getting rid of Corey Lewandowski is the first step.
I know you don't like polls, but polls after Orlando seem to show a shift in attitudes. Do you think the polls in the presidential race are a bellwether of sorts for how Americans want the country to handle assault weapons, for example, or all guns, or terrorism?
Well, you know something, first of all, there's so many things in that sentence that I want to respond to. I don't like polls when it's a year and a half to go before Iowa, New Hampshire, and people saying, well, Jeb Bush is the front runner and Hillary Clinton is the front runner. And I say, well, let's let the voters have a say. I still think, with 4.5 months to go before the election, I think these polls do matter. They will change, and they've changed a lot in the past 3 weeks, and I'll get to that in a second. And I do think that what public has to say about guns is very important. But, you know, it's funny, not funny, because funny is not the right word for it, but whenever there's a horrific tragedy about guns, and I think of Newtown in Connecticut with those 20 school children, second graders murdered, the black parishioners in Charleston, the terrorism-related attacks in San Bernardino, and God knows what was going on in Orlando, whether it was an act of terrorism, an act of anti-gay and lesbian violence, whatever it was. But the people still say that, you know, guns, something has to be done about guns, that the easy access to guns, and yet the Senate never does anything. And I'm not... Look, maybe there isn't a constituency out there for gun changing. Everybody says they want some kind of a change. But when it comes to it, when it happened after Newtown, when it was after San Bernardino, and the Senate had the opportunity to act on some kind of restrictions about allowing certain people to get access to assault weapons or regular firearms, the Senate failed to act. So, I mean, the polls are instructive, and Hillary Clinton and the Democrats certainly would love this to be an issue in November. It remains to be seen whether it will be one.
Honestly, Ken, I'm having a deja vu because I think...
Exactly. We've had the same exact conversation. We
I
see
know.
These things. Okay, this time something's going to happen, and then nothing happens, and then people
all right,
forget.
So here's my question. We're going to be choosing in this country a new president. So do these issues matter in who that choice will be? Because the polls are saying that after Orlando, there was some movement based on what Hillary Clinton said and what Donald Trump said.
Yeah, I think it does matter. But you know something, we're talking about two different elections here, because if you look at the battle for Congress, the Republicans who oppose gun measures are in districts where that's a popular position. The Democrats who support gun control measures are in districts where that position is positive. So I don't think that, you know, all these Republicans who oppose these gun measures are going to suddenly be voted out of office because of gun policy, because basically that policy is pretty popular with their constituencies. But having said that, nationally, when you look at Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump, and Donald Trump has been all over the map on so many issues, including guns. After Orlando, he talked about saying, well, maybe there should be some kind of a limitation on what people on certain lists can get access to guns. And of course, that is mostly the Democratic position. And a lot of conservatives said, wait a second, this is not what, you know, this is not the NRA position. So Donald Trump, in some ways, is trying to have it both ways on guns and failing on both parts.
The NRA is, in fact, against Donald Trump's gun proposal. We've posted a link to an article about that on our website. Donald Trump over the weekend said the country should consider profiling in terms of national security. His campaign manager is out this morning. There are new energies, efforts amongst Republicans to consider whether you can unbind delegates, which is, I guess, what happened back in 1980. What is all this saying to you as you look in the political junkie crystal ball?
Let me just say one thing, just to make it clear what you're talking about. 1980, Ted Kennedy tried to get the Democrats to unbind themselves who were bound to President Carter in their battle. He brought that up at the convention. It failed. So there were some Republicans, you know, these never Trump Republicans are trying to get the Republican Rules Committee to basically change the rules, which they can do because that's what the Rules Committee does at the convention, change the rules to unbind the Republican delegates who are in favor of Donald Trump and let them be free agents. One, you're going to have to get a majority of the Rules Committee and then of the convention to pass that. But these are mostly Trump delegates, so I don't know why they would vote yes on that. And two, let me see, there is a two somewhere, and there's two, yes. What if it's not Trump, who is it? I mean, is it Ted Cruz? Is it John Kasich? The voters had their say on Cruz and Kasich and Rubio and those on Jeb Bush, and they were all rejected. So, you know, you got to beat somebody with somebody. You can't beat somebody with nobody. I don't know if any of that made sense. But the point is, if you're going to stop Donald Trump, somebody's going to have to come forward. And right now, there's nobody coming forward and nobody viable would come forward.
The phrase I read over the weekend was anyone but Trump. So the anyone didn't even have a name.
Right, exactly. I checked the phone book. There's nobody by the name of anyone or never Trump. Those names don't exist. You're going to have to come up with somebody. And right now, I don't see who that somebody is.
You probably know that California lawmakers have 11 different gun bills in the pipeline. Nevada is going to have a background check ballot measure in November. I think a lot of states will be dealing with this. Do you think it would have been this way if we hadn't had Orlando? This legislation certainly was in the works, but the intensity and the urgency, would it have been different?
Well, I mean, I don't know about the state levels and what's going on in the states regarding the individual gun laws. I do know that every time, as we've said, after a Newtown or a Charleston or a San Bernardino, there's more and more clamor for more kind of bills coming out in the Senate. Now, of course, today at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, the Senate will have four votes, two Democratic and two Republican votes, one of them Dianne Feinstein, to limit to anybody who's on a no-fly list or a terrorist watch list will be denied the opportunity to buy a gun. Now, the NRA says, well, a lot of people, these people are on these no-fly lists in error, and you're violating their rights. And then there's another rule about extending background checks to those who buy the guns at the internet, on the internet or gun shows. But the point is that in between Orlando and Chris Murphy's 14, 15-hour filibuster on the Senate floor, there is a sense, there is a growing sense, and of course it's been there for a long time for the Democrats, to say enough is enough, something's got to give. Now, the Republicans are allowing these votes to happen today because to not do so would be probably politically damaging, but all these bills need 60 votes to pass, and both the pro-Republican or pro-gun bills and the pro-Democratic pro-gun control bills will not get 60 votes, and that's the frustration.
Hmm. The U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who supports the Feinstein measure, by the way, says the FBI will release some of the transcripts today related to the 911 calls after Orlando, and she's advocating more transparency. It's an interesting position. I wonder if knowing more helps the whole country understand more and helps with policy shaping in the future.
I think that's a very important point, because basically a lot of people have looked at Orlando and tried to affix it to their own political interests. There are some people who say this is about terrorism. This is about his swearing allegiance to the Islamic State. This is about statements he's made in the past about ISIS. This is what it's about. And there are others who say, no, this is about easy access to guns. It's the fact that somebody can get a gun easily, whether it's an assault weapon or a revolver or anything, and start shooting people. So both sides have not come together on this. And I dare say that I hate to say this, but it certainly makes a great political argument for November, but ultimately this country's got to come up with some kind of solution, some kind of a compromise, some kind of a working agreement that something somehow these mass shootings have got to be curtailed, and both sides right now are so far away about how to do that.
You're listening to Ken Rudin, the political junkie, who, by the way, might have spent Father's Day evening watching Game 7. Did you? I know you're an NBA fan.
Well, I'm a fan of. There used to be a team. This is many, many years ago, before your time. But there used to be a team called the New York Knicks. I don't think you ever heard of it. Once upon, I think they won the championship in 1066. But anyway, look, you know something. I mean, both Stephen Curry and I know the Californians love the Golden State Warriors, yes. And they are an amazing team, and Curry's an amazing player. But you had to be affected by the emotion shown by LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cleveland Cavaliers, Cleveland hasn't won a professional, you know, football, baseball, basketball, hockey championship since 1964. I think it was the Cleveland Browns. That was the last time Cleveland won anything. So given the fact that LeBron James came back to Cleveland to get a championship, I'm not disparaging the Warriors at all. They are a great team, but it was a very, very exciting Game 7.
Mm-hmm. Says the political junkie.
Right.
In his take on basketball on the Monday morning after.
Well, you know, I call it part of the hoopla.
There you go.
There's hoopla on politics. There's hoopla in, well, hoops. You're right.
Right. And Cleveland is on the map for both political reasons and sports reasons this year as well.
Exactly right. They may have a contested convention, but the contested NBA championship, that battle is over.
Yeah, that one's decided. One more note, Ken, did you see that the Dalai Lama will be speaking to the California legislature this afternoon?
I did see that. You know, it's interesting. The administration, the Obama administration wants to doesn't want to do anything to upset the Chinese, but every time the Dalai Lama gets an audience with California, with the U.S. Congress, with President Obama, it just drives the people in Beijing nuts. But so be it. You know, I guess what was it? What was that song? Hello, Dolly. Was that about that or something like that with Carol Channing?
My.
I know. I agree with you.
That's the cue to cut the phone line. Holy smokes.
Well, wait, did you just hang up on me? I can't believe you hung up on me.
I just did.
Oh, God,
just think world peace, okay? World peace. World peace. We need more. Thank you, Ken.
And funnier jokes.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, though. In spite
Thank
of the jokes.
Beth. Yeah. See you next week.
All right, Ken. Thanks a lot. Ken Rudin is the political junkie. You can find a link to his website and more stories that we just spoke about at capradio.org/insight. Coming up, a fact-checking segment on a popular gun statistic. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.